So good afternoon. My name is Alexander Sorosi, Alex. I'm a graduate student at UC Davis, Department of Land, Air, and Water Research. And today I'd like to present a brief overview of a project that I'm leading with Dr. Regine that deals with DOC, transport of DOC, nutrients, and pathogens in an oak woodland landscape. And my part of the project is try to understand hydrologic flow paths and how those can influence in the transport of nutrients and pathogens to the streams. So oak woodlands, they encompass 8 million acres in California. So they form a green belt around the Central Valley. And 80% of the water supply in California passes through those oak woodlands. So it's really important to understand how water passing through those oak woodlands can be contaminated, or so those areas are going to be sink or source of contaminants. Because most of those areas also has been used for grazing, and so pathogens is a big concern to contamination of those waters. And in order to understand the contamination or the pathways of the waters, it's important to understand hydrologic flow paths. So there are a variety of pathways or flow paths that water can take to streams. There's the direct infiltration and stream discharge, unsaturated or saturated flow. There's this groundwater slow discharge. Water can flow through pipe flow, a quick flow, or water can be perched and move laterally over a slow permeability BT horizon. So we believe that there's a moment in which there's a switch between a low flow and high flow. It means that the storage capacity of the soils will be filling up until reach a determined point and the lateral preferential flow will kick in. And this is an important moment because a lot of nutrients and pathogens can be transported to streams and consequently to the water reservoirs. So our approach, or how we are trying to understand our system, we chose a system as a catchment, kind of a closed system, where we have as main input rain as the main output stream flow, in evapotranspiration and other output. In the system, we have the soil moisture, spatial and temporal variability as the big component, or the storage capacity of soils. So we believe that once the storage capacity of the soils are filled up, hydrologic flow paths and lateral preferential flow will kick in and deliver a lot of the water to the streams. And soils and topography and vegetation can play an important role in the distribution of soil moisture. And we also we like to use soil properties as a way to model or better understand the whole system. So at the catchment, or at our catchment, we have a weather station measuring rain and evapotranspiration. And at the outlet, we have the partial plume measuring stream flow. This is it's pretty convenient that at UC Davis Extension Center, they have a couple of catchments that has been studied for a long time. So this is Louis One, is our catchment where we are monitoring. In that catchment, it's already installed a weather station and a partial plume, which is pretty convenient. And we are, as a way to monitor the storage capacity of the soils, we are installing, or it's being installed, 400 soil moisture sensors at 40 profiles. So those green dots represent already installed moisture profiles, and the red dots represents the new profiles that we just finished this week to install. So those moisture sensors, those profiles, are being chosen according different locations, according trees and no trees. We're trying to understand the difference that the oaks are doing in the moisture storage capacity, a landscape position, concave, convex, and a spatial distribution, try to cover as much as possible of area. So the moisture probes you're using is EC5 soil moisture sensors, Decagon. They are placed at 10, 30, and 50 centimeters. We are choosing common depth because it's going to be easy to understand the wet in front. So we know that at 10, the wet in front is around 10, 30, and 50, and then we know that when the storage capacity of the soils are full. And also they are matching with the major horizons, morphological horizons, A, AB, and BT horizon in general. So the fourth sensors we are trying to locate at the clay pan or COCR or the restricted layer. Also at our catchment, there's already installed a perch water collection system, which consists of gutters that are inserted into the soil 20 centimeters. And each gutter collects the water from 10, 30, 65, and 110 centimeters and deliver the water to those drums, passing through tipping buckets, which measure flow. So each tip corresponds to 100 mLs, and that's being recorded by a data logger. So the idea is then trying to understand the lateral preferential flow that's coming through the soil. So this was a dry year. We got 50 centimeters of rain out of 70. That's an average of the area. And after 32 centimeters of cumulative rain, we got our first stream flow. And this is the upward graph represents precipitation, daily precipitation over a period from September to May, which is our rain season. And the graph below represents a volumetric water content cubic meter by cubic meter for one soil profile out of our 100. So those, the black represents a 10 centimeters soil moisture probe. The red represents the 30 centimeters. The green and blue, the others, the deepest one. I would like to focus on those two first horizons, which are more fluctuates more with the rain. So you can see with the first rain, you got a fluctuation on the A horizon, and the 30 centimeters are coming up too. And interesting, in the two flow events that we had here, the two horizons also really corresponded to that flow events. The upward graph represents the stream hydrograph from one day, February 27 midnight to February 28 midnight. And the below graph represents the trench hydrograph from different soil horizons. The black one represents the A, the red one AB, the green BT1, and the blue BT2. So you can see how really the hydrograph, the stream hydrograph, really matches with the trench hydrograph. So we, at the exactly moment when the trench starts to flow in the B horizon, the stream also flow. So it's what's really what we believe that what's happening is really happening. The perch water at the AB horizon is the main contribution to stream flow. Those four maps, they represent temporal and spatial dynamics of water content. So this is one of the two main flow events. This is the first one, February 07, before the storm starts. So you can see how heterogeneous the landscape is, with really dry spots and dry moisture content. So the beginning of the storm, you start to get wet. This is at 10 centimeters. Filling storage capacity of the soils, and in February 11, you got the discharge. So it's pretty homogeneous and pretty wet. The second flow event, which was, I should just show it to you for the two hydrographs, they match exactly. Also getting the wet in front, filling the storage capacity of the soils. The discharge, pretty much homogeneous. And the interesting thing is after the discharge, you start to dry pretty quickly again. So that you see that there's the discharge really corresponds to a lot of the moisture contents being dry out. Here I'm just showing an example of what we are trying to do, because geostatistics look at the soil moisture at one dimension, and we are trying to look at three dimensions, so it's temporal, spatial, and vertical dimensions. So those are six soil moisture profiles that I just pick up randomly from the landscape, trying to show different patterns with depth. So the idea here is try to see if we can find similarities or difference between those moisture profiles and try to group them in according to landscape positions and see if they match with soil properties as texture, carbon, nitrogen, and other analysis that we are developing. This is still an initial stage of our project. This was just the first results that we got, and we are still working with the data, that our database, which is a pretty big database, and finishing, we just finished to install 120 more sensors this year, and we hope to get more rain, so we're gonna get more of the lateral flow.
Have you estimated how much flow goes below the soil layer at the bedrock level into the various fractions of the bedrock?
Yeah.
What kind of
that? Yeah, this is a concern. I didn't talk about it, but we are installing piezometers at deep depths to understand how much water is going below, because this is going to outbalance our model. Good question, yeah. So yeah, we're worried about that.
Any more questions? I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
You saw in your runoff in the stream flow as well as your desk flow, they're kind of matching to each other.
Yeah.
Is that how the flow is back fast to match the stream flow as well as the desk flow at the same time, or are there any time differences between the desk flow and the stream flow? How far they are apart?
In time?
Uh-huh.
No, there's
exact
in time. So for us, it's like a wow.
How far apart physically are
they? Oh, they're, I'll say, 20, 30 meters.
Oh,
yeah, so
close.
It's a little bit upwards in a hill slope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, they do, yeah. Excuse me?
Has the site been affected by the fire that you have in the state right now?
As farms?
Fires.
Oh, yeah. There was a study before that looked at fire at the landscape position. And but this catchment is pretty much now controlled, so we cannot imagine having fire around there. This last year was like, wow, no. It's because so much sensors and data loggers and so. Yeah, we were really worried as last year about fire.
Are you planning to estimate the downward recharge or measure it? That's what you are mentioning.
Yeah, we're trying to install piezometers.
Are you also measuring anything like evaporates or anything? Evapotranspirators?
Yeah, idea is using the weather station and estimate by Penman-Monteith equation and then estimate evapotranspiration from grass and trees, so then we can have a difference.